Take your Bible and turn to the book of Numbers. I had a thought, and I really had a message prepared out of the book of Psalms. And just being at the family night last night and then being there at the funeral today and just pondering some things in my heart, I thought about a couple of things that I think would be a help to us. And so I'd like to share just some things about the importance of prayer. And sometimes how to pray. You know, as the Bible teaches that sometimes we don't know how to pray for things as we ought. And I'm glad that we have the Spirit of God to help us in those times. And so I just want to look at here in Numbers 14. I mean, I'm really interested in one verse of Scripture. But in order to really adequately, I believe, give you some truth out of that one verse, I'm going to look at the context in which it's given to us in. The verse that I want you to look at, and you can stand to your feet just to stretch your legs one last time before we sit for the message, is verse 19. And what we'll do is we'll just kind of go back and give just a brief oversight of an intercessory prayer. And I got to tell you, when I was reading this, I got up to this time, and I expected something different than what I got. And perhaps that is what you will as well. I don't know. Moses has been, he's been provoked, to say the least. He has, under the power of God and the authority of God, brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he has brought them through the Red Sea, and he's brought them to the place to where they're ready to go into Canaan's land. And there's a lot that took place. A lot that took place in that span. And now the children of Israel, after he sent the spies over, and they came back, and of course, you know, two of them, Joshua and Caleb, say, hey, we can do this. And the rest of them are saying, no, no way, we can't do this. And they began to murmur and complain. It's actually, I said verse 19, and we'll get there, but just, and I'm not going to go through it, but just look at verse number 1. All the congregation, chapter 14 of Numbers, verse 1, lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Now, that's a lot of people. You know, it says all the people. That's a lot of people. And so, I don't know. You know, he's just been through a lot. And maybe you've been through a lot. You know, life has a way of putting us through a lot. It really does. And sometimes it's from the people that we least expect it. Sometimes the people that you do the most for, you care the most about, are the people that maybe would rise up at a time when you expect it least. And I kind of felt like that's where Moses was. And then Moses began to pray, and we'll look at that prayer a little bit, but I want you to look at verse number 19. This will be the verse that we'll dig into a little bit. In verse number 19, Moses said this. He said, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now. To me, that is powerful. Here's a man that has been fought basically tooth and nail all the way through this process. And he's just trying to do what's best for the people. He's trying to obey God to do what's right. And it seems like the more that God uses him and the more that these people are helped, that they're turning against him. And what I expected was, God, take these people out. And there is a mention of God taking these people out, but it wasn't from Moses. God said, I'll do it. And you know what Moses said? God, please don't. Now, brethren, that's love. That's love for people. And we've been talking on Sunday mornings about sheep loving sheep and ministering to each other. Leadership loving the sheep loving the shepherd, the sheep loving the sheep. I don't know that it gets any more real than that. When I read that, it convicted me to my core. I want to read it again, and then we'll pray, and I'll give you what I some thoughts that I had when I looked at this verse, and as I began to research some of the things, it said, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word of God. And God, I thank you for speaking to my heart. And I pray that you would help us to gather priority and perspective as we look into your word tonight. God, teach us what it is to love like you love. And teach us what it is. We're in the know, but not everyone is. And I just pray you'd help me. God, help us. We're your people. And I pray that we would represent you well and that we would carry out the love that you have for others as you place it in our hearts. Help us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You can be seated. Let me just give you a little bit of an overview of what's happening here. I gave you a general overview. The children of Israel have come up to the brink of the promised land, and their hearts are filled with unbelief. And God, all the way through this process, is trying to bring them to a place to where he can bless them to where when they go into the land, well, they can go in with a heart of belief, with a heart of faith, and they just would not receive that ministry. And so Moses sent the spies. They come back, and we'll just kind of go down through. And I first of all want to show you what unbelief will do in our hearts. Unbelief is a terrible thing. It really is. When we think of terrible sin, I just don't know that unbelief would be on our list. I know it's not on mine. Well, it is now. And every now and then, God reminds me of how terrible the sin of unbelief is. It's awful. It's calling God a liar. And so the children of Israel, they come and they're sent over, they come back, these spies, and they give this report. The people didn't like it, and they I read to you verse 1 and 2. The latter part of verse number 2 says this: would God, the whole congregation says it, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness. I'm not going to get into this, but be careful what you ask for, because you will see before the end of this chapter that God said that's exactly okay. That's exactly what's going to happen. Verse number 3 says, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, and our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? Now just think about that for a moment. Think about that. We want to go back. As a matter of fact, they said this in verse number 4. You know what? They said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return unto Egypt. We need a new leader. See, unbelief just really distorts everything in our life. Unbelief will, it's almost like insanity. You say, how could that be? Well, listen to what they're saying. God chose a man that they watched grow up in the palace. and he willfully said, I'm not going to choose the riches of Egypt. I'm going to suffer the afflictions of my people. I mean, he identified with these people. He left everything for them. And chose to be what God wanted him to be instead of what he wanted to be. And God chose this man, and he sent him to them, and he went to Pharaoh. He put his life on the line for these people. And God used him, and they said, now you're not working out. You know, had they forgotten how many years they'd been in Egypt before Moses, with the power of God, brought them out? You see what unbelief can do? Unbelief can make us forget the goodness of God. Unbelief can make us forget the people that God puts in our life that helps us in crisis, in the most difficult places of our life.
And they said, you know what? We need another leader. This is not getting done. And it's not our fault. It's his fault. No, it's your fault. Can I tell you that most of the situations I get myself in is not anyone's fault but mine? And until I get to that place, I just don't know that I'm going to get too far in this thing called life. And we just live in a society, we live in a generation of people, and we're becoming soft, and we're becoming to where it's almost like it's popular to say, well, it's someone else's fault. Usually, if we're in a situation, I can certainly tell you that these people got themselves into this situation. They should have just got on their face before God and said, thank you for this man of God. Thank you. But they didn't. See, unbelief will do that to you. Unbelief will cause young people not to appreciate their parents, their teachers. Unbelief will cause us to be unthankful, ungrateful. Unbelief will cause us to have a almost an attitude of entitlement. And you owe me. And that's why our world is that way. And if we're not careful, it'll slip in our churches. It'll slip in our Christian homes. This sin of unbelief. And so they said, you know, we want to go back to Egypt. Now listen to that. You want to go back to Egypt. You know, I sit at my desk this afternoon and I thought about what's back in Egypt. Well, let's just quickly review. Well, let's see. In order to get back there, you're going to have to go back through the Red Sea. Oh, yeah, that's that place that God drowned all the armies of Pharaoh. And we're going to go back to that place. They were chasing us. But we want to go back there. You think they're going to receive they're going to roll out the red carpet for them or something? Huh? God plagued this land with plagues. 10. The last being the death of the firstborn. This is probably 3 months. Listen. There's no telling the mourning that these people were going through, and these people to go back and say, you know what? Your people, your God, it's you people that caused your God to kill our firstborn. I just don't think they're going to receive a welcome back into Egypt. I just don't think it's going to be very good for them. When they go back and they see that these people that left the land. By the way, you do know that the eve before the children of Israel left Egypt, they plundered the people. The Israelites did this. And so they took a lot of stuff. And so, you know, they got to go back to this place. That's insane. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? I hope that you do. It's insane. I mean, that is literally, that would, as far as I'm concerned, that would qualify for clinical insanity. You want to go back to a place that hated you. I mean, they treated you like dogs. They worked you like animals. They rationed your food out like slaves. They had taskmasters. They mistreated your women and children. And God has taken you to a better place. And all you can do is say, you know what? We want to go back. No, they don't. They just think they do. Sometimes if we're not careful, we'll begin to think irrational that way. And it's unbelief that does it, brethren. It's unbelief. We'll think, well, you know what? Maybe it wouldn't hurt so bad if I just kind of went back to some old ways. You don't know what you're saying. I don't know what I'm saying when I have those thoughts. That is delusion. It's deceitful. And so they said, you know, in the latter part of verse number 3, were it not better for us to return into Egypt? A great, loud, resounding no. You've got to be kidding me. And then in verse number 4, and they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt.
The last place, I don't know where your place in life is. I know where it doesn't need to be, and that's in leadership. Your advice stinks. Your thoughts, But how soon we forget, right? Now, it's easy for me, it'd be easy for you to say, man, these people are this is nuts. But if we're not careful, we'll be having some of the same thoughts. We really will. And so, the scripture says in verse number 5 that Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And then in verse number 6 down through verse number 12, Joshua and Caleb come on the scene and they say, look, you know, let's be reasonable. And they try to reason with the people. And they said, well, you know, we can do this. We saw what was over there. And they tried to remind them what God had done for them. They tried to kind of talk some sense back into them, so to speak. I can remember growing up, perhaps you can too. Maybe some of the younger, I don't know, younger generations never heard that phrase, but I can remember my mother and grandmother saying, boy, we need to talk some sense into you. And I'm glad they did from time to time. I didn't listen to some of it, and I wished I would listen to all of it. I can tell you right now, these people need some sense talked into them. And Joshua and Caleb, they were trying, and they were saying, listen, and they told them in verse number 9, they said, only rebel not ye against the Lord. Don't do this. Don't do this. You need to think this through. This is a terrible idea. You're delusional. You're not thinking straight. You're unbelief. Remember what God has done. And they even said, he said in verse number 9, only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear you the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. What a great encouragement. We can do this. God's on our side. Just trying to get them, you know, stirred up again. Hey, don't forget, God's brought us here, and the God that brought us here is going to see us through. Can I tell you, God's going to do the same for you? God's going to do the same for me. We're His people. God's not going to leave us to ourselves. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're fighting. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know where you are in your spiritual life before the Lord. Maybe, just maybe, somebody, whether here or watching by live stream or that will watch this live stream message, maybe someone's in a place of unbelief and they're just not willing to come to terms with it. They're not willing to say, that's me. I've been thinking about going back. I've been thinking about what's the use to move forward. I've been thinking about where's God when I need Him. I've been doubting what God can do. I've been doubting that God is greater than any problem I have. That's me, preacher. Well, then this message is for you. And the scripture says that when God moved through these people and spoke to them, notice their reaction in verse number 10. Now, I was thinking when I was reading down through this, it's been a while since I've read the book of Numbers. And I was thinking when I read down through here, they would probably say, you know, that's a good thought. We might ought to rethink this thing. But I'm going to show you how powerful the sin of unbelief is. It's powerful. Look at verse number 10. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. They started shouting out, stone them! Stone them! Why? For telling you the truth? For trying to get you to act in faith on what God can do? Unbelief is a terrible thing. The Bible calls it in the book of Hebrews a wicked heart of unbelief. Verse number 11, the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them. God said, all I've done for these people. Can I tell you, God's been very good to us. You say, now preacher, you don't know all my story. And you don't know all mine. But I know this, God is good. God is good to us. The very fact that we're sitting in church on a Wednesday night instead of a bar or some other place for some other people, is a testament to the goodness and the grace of God. You say, well, not me, Pastor. Yes, you. It may not have been the same place as some other, but you, the very fact that you're sitting in a Bible-believing church with your Bible open, wanting to hear instruction from the Bible, is a testament that God's been very good to you. Very good. And we could go on and on and on. We had health and strength enough to make it to church tonight. Better than there are people that really wanted to be in church tonight. They didn't have the health and strength to be. Now, I'm not saying God's not good to them. I'm just saying that God has a plan. And if it's in God's plan that you have the health you have and that you have the strength you have and that you are where you are in this moment in your life, you need to praise God for it. I don't think any of us went without a meal in case it was intentional today. We got in vehicles, most of us, and drove here today. We left houses, probably of abundance and comfort, to drive here today. We could go on and on. God has been so good to us. And God said, you know, how long am I going to be good to a people before they acknowledge me and believe me and trust me? You know, I do. I mean this. I hope God doesn't ever look down and think that about me. But I know he has because I know I've been there. I don't want to be ungrateful. I don't want to be unthankful. I don't want to take the blessings of God for granted. I don't want to just murmur and complain when everything doesn't go my way. Just because something doesn't go your way, that doesn't mean God's given up on you. God wants to teach you in something that's not your way just as much as he wants to bless you in something that is. And God said, I'll smite them. Look at verse number 12. I'll smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And then here begins that prayer that ends in verse number 19. Moses intercedes and he says unto the Lord, he said, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. Now, if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations will have heard the fame of thee. They have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. Now, I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great according as thou hast spoken, saying. Now, I'm going to stop right there because I'm going to come back to this as I bring this to a close. You see what Moses is doing? God, I know your character. Moses is not. Now, in probably from his perspective, he's trying to talk God into not doing what God said he was going to do. But God knew what was going to happen. God knows the ending from the beginning. We heard it Sunday night. God is providential. And God said, Moses, what do you want me to do with these people? Now, I'll do this. God's teaching Moses a great lesson here. Please listen to me. Sometimes if I had my way about it, there's people that I would just not have any more dealings with. But that's not God's way. I don't get my way. And you don't get your way. Sometimes God puts people in the pathway of our life that'll try our last nerve. That will test every ounce of patience that we have. That we will think that do not care about the ministry that we're giving them or the love that we're giving them. And we don't want to be so soft and shallow that everybody that doesn't respond to the first couple of things that we do in their life, that we just kick them to the curb and say, well, you know, they don't appreciate it. I'm glad God didn't do that with me. Aren't you? Are you dealing with somebody? Or you may be that someone, that someone's dealing with you. I don't know. But when we are going to help people, brethren, if we're going to help people or be helped by people, we can't just give up on people when things don't go the way we want it to go. It's a terrible thing. You say, well, preacher,
Where is the line drawn? When is enough enough? I don't know. God will let me know. He'll let you know too. He will. Moses has been through a lot. I think Moses at this time was tired. I do. You read the account. It's been a while since I've read it, but I remember most, well, I can't say that. I remember a lot of it. Of how Moses was challenged and how these people just, I mean, they just frayed on him. They wore on him to the place to where it just wore him. And yet, you know what he did? He went to battle for them. He said, God, please, don't do this. To me, that is just wonderful. It just shows me a side of a man that I want in my life. God, help me to be like that. God, help me not to give up on people. Just because they've given up on God, God, help me not to give up on them. How are we going to win people if we give up too easy on them? How are we going to really make a difference in someone's life if we just say, well, then God judge them? But Moses didn't say that. He actually said, God, don't judge them. God, don't judge them. Have mercy on them. This is a man that knew something about the mercy of God that I fear I don't know enough about. He knew something about God's mercy. And he said, God, don't. Now listen, what happened? How do you think Moses got here? And that's why I didn't read verse 18. Does verse 18 sound familiar to you? Look at it. He said, I have to go back to verse 17. Now, I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken. Don't forget that now. God, I heard you say one time. I heard you say this, Lord, about you. And I hadn't forgot it. I know this about you, and I'll never forget it. He said, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Where did Moses hear God speak that? Anyone say it out loud. Remember when Moses went up to receive the law? The children of Israel had been out of Egypt about 3 months, and they stopped there at Sinai. And Moses and Joshua went up on the mount, and Joshua stopped a good ways up, and Moses went on to the top, and he received the law, and he received the blueprint of the tabernacle, and he came back down. And when he came back down, he said, you know, is that the sound of war? What's going on down there? No, that's revelry. They had built a golden calf, remember? That's Exodus 32, 33. It's both those, Exodus 32 and 33. And God began teaching Moses some things. See, Moses didn't just get here. Can I tell you, I won't either. You won't either. You don't get saved and just haphazardly go through life. You're going to have to be tested. We're going to have to go through some growing spurts. We're going to have to go through some tests and some trial. We're going to have to go through some things where we can see God at work in people's lives so that God can work in our lives. And Moses, as he began to deal with God, God said, I want to see your glory. Show me thy glory. Remember that? That's one of my favorite passages in all the Bible. And God said, well, I'll tell you what you do. He said, there's a cleft in the rock over here. I want you to get in that cleft of the rock. And he said, you're not going to see my face and live. He said, but I'm going to make all my glory pass before you. And the glory of the Lord passed. You see verse number 18? When you go back, don't do it tonight. Well, now, do it tonight. I hope you will. You go back to Exodus 34. I hope you'll write this passage down. Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. This is what God told Moses. And Moses, years later, had not forgotten. God taught Moses something that day that he never forgot. And it was about his character. He said, Moses, I want you to know who you're dealing with. God, help me to know who I'm dealing with. I know a little bit about God, but I want to know more. I do. I want to know this part. I do. A God that never gives up on people. A God that never gives up. A God who didn't give up on me. A God who will not give up on you. And God, teach me not to give up on you. And God, teach you not to give up on me. And God, teach us not to give up on others. Don't do it. Some of you have been praying for a loved one, maybe a husband, maybe a wife, maybe a child, maybe a parent, maybe a friend, for years, and you're wondering, you know, when is God going to do something? Now we're going to close with that verse. Verse 17 says, "Thou hast spoken, according to thou hast spoken." God, you told me something one time, and it's impossible for you to lie. And I know this is your character, God. You're long-suffering. Your great mercy. And I know you that way, Lord. And so I'm going to ask you in verse number 19 to pardon, I beseech thee. Pardon them. Don't condemn them. What they do in ignorance. God, show them mercy. You know, the next time you witness to somebody and they flip a trap back at you or me, and I've had that happen more than once. You have too if you witness long enough. Or they snarl and say something smart instead of wanting to reach out and grab them by the neck. Say, "I forgive you." So I can't do that yet. But as we grow in grace, see, this is growing in grace. We're more interested in growing in knowledge. I know what Peter said, but go in grace. He put grace first and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's, I think it's 2 Peter 3:18. And so we're interested in growing in knowledge, and we should be. But I wonder how interested we are in growing in grace. I wonder how interested we are in saying, you know, I want to grow in grace toward people and situations and life to where I will treat things the way God treats things. And so he said, pardon, I beseech thee, I'm begging you, Lord, pardon these people. That is growing in grace. A people that want to stone you, a people that want to replace you. What a heart. This spoke to my heart. That this is just, to me, it's powerful. I think that if we could get a measure of this, we could really make a greater difference. I believe we're making a difference, but we can make a greater difference. Don't give up on people, brethren. Don't. You say, "Well, they just make me mad, Pastor." You think? You think you ever make anyone mad? "Well, they just try my patience." You think so? You think I ever try someone's patience? Don't answer that. Sure we do. Pardon, I beseech thee. Now Moses didn't sugarcoat it. Look what he said. The iniquity of this people. This is terrible. Listen, you don't have to candy coat and soft coat it. Call it what it is. The Bible says speak the truth. Just do it in love. Amen? Call sin, sin. Call it like it is. But you can have sin. I mean, you can have conviction and compassion reside in the same heart. You can be strong in your stand against sin. And you can be compassionate toward those in whom you're trying to help. Let's wrap this up. According to the greatness of thy mercy. Aren't you glad God is a God of mercy? Now, what is Moses saying here? God, don't give them what they deserve. Aren't you glad God didn't give you what you deserve? I think in this hour, Moses probably really, 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 it's like God flooded his soul that he did not get what he deserved. Could have been killed at birth. But God miraculously saved his life and allowed him to see things that few people have seen and to experience things that few people have experienced, only to become one of the most talked about men in all the history of the world. There's few places you can go where people have not heard about this man, Moses. God showed him great favor. And he realized, I did not get what I deserved. And I don't want to see others get what they deserve. God, he said, notice this, according unto the greatness of thy mercy.
And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even unto now. God, only your forgiveness has got us to where we are. And only your forgiveness will get us to where we desire to be. And can I say that's true for you too? It's true for me. We wouldn't be here without God's forgiveness. Now in your mind right now, it'd be very easy. It's very easy for me. I could pin down 10, 20, 30, 50 names here that I sure would like to see serving God. And they're not. And I can get impatient. I can become hostile, maybe even condemning. But I'd rather pray a prayer like this. God, help them to see the error of their way, their iniquity, and bring them to a place to where they can be pardoned for their iniquity. And God, exercise the greatness of your mercy in their life. And as you have forgiven in the past, I pray you would forgive, even up to now. All right, I'd like for you to stand. Now, this is a message that God laid on my heart. And if it was for no one else, I will guarantee you it was for your pastor. Okay? I will guarantee you that. Because sometimes, and I'm just being transparent. I mean, I try to be transparent at all times. I do. Some things are better left unsaid. I understand that. And so I don't want to be ignorant. I don't want to be foolish. But I do want to be transparent. Sometimes in my life, and I feel like it's this way in all of our lives, we can get a little impatient. And we can grow a little weary. And our attitude needs adjusting a little bit. And we just need to remember how God has been good to us. And what God has done in our life. And where God has brought us from. And where God has us now. And so as we deal with others, let's not forget now. There was a time when we were where they are. And if you want them to be where you are, then you remember where you were before you are where you are. And ask God to help you. Be merciful. To be loving. To be long-suffering. Nothing will conquer the love you have for an individual. When someone knows you love them, I've seen it over and over again. When someone knows you love them, they will listen to you. They will. Would you bow your head with me?